When I was stationed in northern Italy, I lived in a 16th century Italian villa just outside the city of Vicenza. And surrounding this villa were many agricultural fields where they grew rice and corn, wheat, and many other crops throughout the very long and prosperous growing season. One evening when I was returning to the villa, I noticed that a very large herd of sheep had moved to a field immediately in front of the villa gate. And I was curious because I had not seen this before. There were thousands of sheep in a very small area. And I could see the shepherd standing in the middle. And the shepherd had a couple of border collies. They were just sitting on the periphery of this group of sheep, just laying down, because the sheep, they were all together. They weren't trying to wander off. They were just eating grass and living the dream. And so I parked the car and I walked outside the villa gate with my camera to take a picture or two of this. And the sheep did not like that. They immediately started moving away from me. They could distinguish me from the shepherd. The shepherd was once again standing roughly in the middle of this fold, and he was talking or maybe singing a little bit. And I was told later that the shepherd talks or will sing in order for the sheep to hear his voice. That way the sheep, when they're eating, they don't have to look up every 30 seconds to wonder if the shepherd is still there. They can hear the voice of their shepherd, knowing that the shepherd is nearby and that they're safe and they're secure and they can go on eating. But the sheep did not like my voice. They could distinguish my voice from the voice of the shepherd. Now, sheep are not the most intelligent animals out there, but they could still distinguish my voice from the voice of their shepherd. Isn't that amazing? It's amazing. I think we can learn a lot from sheep. The first being the importance of recognizing the voice of our shepherd. The voice of the one who will nourish us, who will keep us from wandering astray, the shepherd who will protect us, lead us, and guide us. Today we celebrate the fourth Sunday of Easter, which is commonly called Good Shepherd Sunday, because in the gospel, both in all three cycles, A, B, and C, we hear about Jesus being the Good Shepherd. Now, this is prophesied, this is foreshadowed in the Old Testament. God saying that he himself is going to lead and shepherd his people because the shepherds which he had appointed had let him down. They'd let the people down as well. And so he says, I myself will shepherd my people, Israel. And so he sends his son to do just that. So we hear about it foreshadowed all over the Old Testament. When we hear about Jesus as the Good Shepherd, we hear references to this, especially in the Gospels, but there's other places in the New Testament as well. We also hear about this in the wisdom literature of the Psalms. Psalm 23 is perhaps one of the most common, one of the most commonly known pieces of Scripture. Even non-Christians can recite even some of Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, there's nothing I shall want. It's a very beautiful psalm talking about how that good shepherd, the one shepherd who is our Lord, will lead us to the streams, lead us to the green pastures, and protect us even when we're walking through the dark valley. God will protect and guide us. But we have to be able to distinguish and recognize the voice of the one good shepherd, and to be able to distinguish the voice of Jesus apart from the imposter shepherds, which there are many of. We can learn a lot from those sheep. Be able to recognize and distinguish the voice of our good shepherd. Those fields which were surrounding the villa had a system of canals running through them. And these were initially dug by a religious community who had settled in the area probably close to 1,000 years ago. And the region which lays at the base of the foothills for the Italian Alps. It was once a swamp, but after these religious dug canals, the swamp was drained and it turned into some very fertile farmland. And today those canals flowing through those fields, they provide a great source of water for irrigation for those crops. They're also a source of recreation. There are paths and trails and dirt roads next to the majority of these canals, which I would walk along or run along almost every day. And you would see early in the morning, especially in the evening, after the sun went down and it cooled off a little bit, you'd see the Italians just walking out in these fields along the canals. It's very, very peaceful, very serene. The canals are very beautiful. But it was a little deceptive, because although the canals were not that large, I mean, maybe 10 or 15 or 20 feet wide at the widest, they're actually quite deep. And the water in the canals was very swift. So if you were to try to cross the canal, in the canal, you'd be swept away. Now, if a sheep tried to cross it, they would be swept away and drown very quickly. And so when the shepherd would go from one field to the other with his sheep, he would have to cross at very distinct points where there was a land bridge, a very small land bridge, either over a culvert or maybe a dam or something else which rose above the canal, some type of bridge so that you could cross over it. And I remember seeing the shepherd one night leading this large flock of sheep with just a couple border collies in tow, leading this very large flock of thousands of sheep through this very small bridge over the canal so that the sheep don't drown. Once again, I think we can learn something important from sheep. Jesus Christ, the one true good shepherd, leads us over those canals of sin and eternal damnation and hell. He keeps us from being swept away in sin and vice. But we must follow him because he alone knows the place to cross the canal. We hear about this in the first reading. This comes from one of the letters of Peter. Remember, Peter is the first pope. And he says this: there is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. There is no other way of salvation other than Jesus Christ. You don't take my word for it. This is the first pope saying it. And this is clear, consistent teaching of Holy Mother Church for 2,000 years. There is no other way than Jesus Christ. Jesus himself says, I am the way, the truth, the life. He doesn't say, I'm one of many ways. He says, the way, singular. We must follow him if we want to go to heaven. There is no other way. Do not be deceived. Do not be fooled. We live in a culture of relativism and a very pluralistic society in which people say, well, you know, Christians can believe that Jesus will save them, but I can be saved through other means. No, you can't. How do I know this? The scriptures tell us. Jesus himself tells us. A lot of people, they think that another way is going to be salvific. A lot of people, they say, well, Father, I go out into the forest. When I don't go to church, I find God in the trees, in the forest. So I go walk through the forest. I say, well, that's great. That's beautiful. But those trees are going to be cut down. They're going to burn down. They're going to die from disease. And they're not going to save you. They're not going to save you at the end of your life. The same is true with anything else, any other God, any other religion. Now, some people will say, well, what about these people who've never, you know, they grew up on a deserted island, they never hear about Jesus? Well, the church talks about that very beautifully in some of the documents concerning salvation. And the church would say, if a person through no fault of their own doesn't know about the redeeming value of the life of Jesus Christ, the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, then there's hope for that person for salvation. But the salvation of that person comes through Jesus Christ. Even if that person does not know Jesus Christ, if that person is saved, it will come through Jesus Christ. It's not going to come through Muhammad or some type of Zen Eastern mysticism or through trees in the forest. It's only through Jesus Christ. Once again, Peter is very clear. There is no salvation through anyone else, nor is there any other name under heaven given to the human race by which we are to be saved. Period. So when we want to cross that canal, when we want to cross over that canal, we have to follow the one true good shepherd. He knows where he's going. He will lead us. If we try to cross somewhere else, we're going to drown. We'll drown. We can learn a lot from sheep. One of the ways I think is most efficacious or beneficial in really being able to recognize and to distinguish the voice of Jesus Christ from the other shepherds who are trying to impersonate Jesus, and there's many out there who are trying to do just that. We have to become familiar with the voice of Jesus. We hear that in the scriptures, especially in the gospels. 98, maybe 99% of the words of the Son of God recorded in sacred scripture are in the gospels. So we begin in the gospels. And if you're not reading the scriptures, begin in the gospels. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Don't start in Genesis. You'll fall asleep by chapter 47. Start with the Gospels and begin with the Gospel of Mark. Why is that? Because it's the shortest. It's only 16 chapters. It takes me about 70, maybe 80 minutes to read, and I'm a slow reader. So if you're a decent reader, you're going to be able to finish the Gospel of Mark in about an hour. And then you move on to the others. This is important because, once again, there are imposters out there. As soon as you leave those doors, there's imposters. They're going to tell you what they think Jesus is saying, or what they think Jesus wants, what they think Jesus is doing. And so when they tell you something, they say, well, Jesus says this. Well, if you're familiar with the Gospels, you might be able to say, huh, no, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say that. What he actually says is this. So you won't be fooled. You won't be led away by a wolf, by an imposter shepherd. We can learn a lot from sheep. The importance of recognizing and distinguishing the voice of the good shepherd and following that good shepherd who will lead us to safety. Praise be Jesus Christ.